know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Give the brothers a hand. Amen. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to be in your house this morning. God, we're so grateful that you reside in our hearts. Now, God, we pray that the Holy Ghost will take your word today and open it up unto our understanding. Illuminate it so that we might practice these principles for profit and give you praise. It is in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. I want to call your attention to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. And I want to commence reading at verse 11. Recorded are these words. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. I want you to look at Luke chapter 16 right quick. Luke chapter 16. And let's look at verse 16. And the word of the Lord reads, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Again, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. For just a little while, I want to speak from the message. I can't wait another minute. I can't wait another minute. This is Jesus speaking here, and he, again, if you would look at the text and begin at verse 1 and walk through it, you will understand that Jesus, as he comes and he's ministering, and the disciples of John have a report they need to bring back to John. Verse 2 says, now when Jesus had heard in the prison the works of Christ, when John rather had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, this was an important word. John is in prison. His disciples are continuing the work. And so there he sends them to ask Jesus a question. And so verse 4 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. In other words, I want you to be a living witness that I am the one that John has preached and prepared the way for. And this was important for John to know so that he would have a confirmation that his preaching and his teaching, and more importantly, his living, would not be in vain. Now, brothers and sisters, because of this text, and we understand Jesus is proclaiming something that's so very important for us to see and to understand. One of the things, as we look into the text, we will recognize that the prophets before John prophesied about the coming of Jesus Christ. The prophets also prophesied about John, who would precede Jesus and prepare the way for Jesus. And all of these prophets who had prepared and prophesied both the coming of John and the coming of Jesus stopped at this point. And so it was at this point, if you will, that John would pick up what message and what ministry was necessary to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and usher him in and the kingdom of heaven in by way of preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he had a very pivotal role in history, in time, and certainly in the kingdom of God. And so when you begin to recognize this and look at this, Jesus is saying, again, look at verse 11, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until who? What's your Bible say? Has anybody got your Bible open? Read it. Until who?
John.
Now listen at this, because this is important. If John is the one that is going to be the forerunner of Jesus, then he wants to make sure, it only makes sense, that he would make sure that the one that he is providing this preparation for is the one who should follow after him or come after him. He wanted to know, was this the Jesus? Why does he raise this question? Seemed like it's a strange question. He ought to know who he is. But what you did need to know is, or do need to know, is that there were many false prophets. There were many false messiahs, or people coming and pretending that they were the Messiah. And so one of the things that would clear up what folks say and what folk did were the realities of their ministry itself. And so when John's disciples went and asked Jesus, was he the one or should they look any further, Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to go back and tell John what you heard, which was the message, which was the word, and what you saw, which was the miracles. Amen. And after having shared that with John, it would be a confirmation in his spirit that Jesus was the Messiah that he had prepared the way for, and he was actually on the scene. Now, here's what I want you to see now, because John is literally preparing the way for Jesus and creating an excitement and an expectation for Jesus to come. If you will, John's role was like Ed McMahon's role on the Tonight Show when Johnny Carson was the late night king. And everybody knows what Ed McMahon's role was. It was simply to do what? To introduce Johnny. And what would he say? Here's Johnny. That was it. And after he did that, Johnny took over.
That's it.
All right. Ran the whole show and they enjoyed the hour, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that was what John's role was to Jesus, to introduce him to the world. Now, because he had gotten the attention of the world, those who heard him preach out in the wilderness, those who had heard him had now become excited, because up until John, prophets were prophesying about the coming. John's message was, he has come.
All right.
The one you've been looking for, he is here. Uh-huh. And all of that
that excitement got men ready for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one whom the world had been looking for. Look again at what this word says. Verily, verse 11, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, look at what he said, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, you see, God is no respecter of persons. You've got to understand that he was a great prophet because he was chosen for that position and given that ministry. But what he was literally saying is even the least of those who are saved in the kingdom are important to God.
Amen.
Because they receive the gospel message, they are great. And because they live the life and because they adhere to what God has said, he elevates them in the kingdom of God even greater than the position or the person in the preaching part of John's ministry. Now I want you to see something else because this is important. Verse 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, somebody say now.
Now.
The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. Now this word is interesting because when you look at the word violent, You really think in a negative connotation. You think about people out of control. You think about people who usually are using power and strength in a negative and forceful and usually ungodly and unrighteous way. But now what is important is to get the earnestness, the power, the forthrightness that the people received once they heard the message that Jesus was here. Now keep in mind, they're looking for him. They're expecting him. They've been waiting for him. Now he has shown up, and it's kind of like since he has gotten here, the people are so excited. They're almost like violent people, almost stampeding, if you will, trying to get into the kingdom, trying to meet the man who's going to make them right with God, trying to get to that place where they can experience what Jesus brings and offers to men who are seeking him for the salvation of their souls. They're not playing, they're not pretending, they want what he has to offer, and they are not waiting any longer. They are so excited that they're acting like wild people trying to get a hold to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now this is, listen, and when folk are violent like this, and this word literally means earnest, it really means that they're so excited that it creates a force. And I want to share some things with you because here's what you need to recognize. First of all, that the preaching, so the word says, the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. Well, what is the force that has been produced by the violent? Well, you're going to have to recognize it is not produced by the violent, it is produced in the violent.
Yes.
But what produced this force in the violent? I'm going to share it with you again in scripture. It's right here. First of all, John's preaching produced faith. John's preaching produced faith. What does Romans 10 and 17 say? It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John preached an anointed word concerning the Messiah, and men became stirred up in their faith. And so as a result of that, when they got through, they said, give me the pen, let me sign on the dotted line. It's a salesman's dream that when he gets through with his sales pitch, that the people are so excited, they say, where do I sign? They don't want to, after they've given the sale pitch, to have to resell it all over again and to beg them to sell. They want to be so impressive in their sales pitch that when they are through, the sale is guaranteed because they are excited about the product. And if it's a good enough product, the product will sell itself.
That's it.
And so this is the same way it was with John the Baptist preaching the gospel with such authority and with such an anointing that before he could get through with it good, people were saying, how can I get in the kingdom? I want this Jesus. I want this salvation. And so they then began to press in by faith because the preaching produced faith. Say, preaching produces faith.
Preaching produces faith.
You see, that's one of the reasons why the devil don't want you to hear preaching.
That's it.
All because good preaching will always stir you up. Good preaching will always make you want to have what has been preached about.
Right.
And so here is one of the important things about John's ministry. His anointing, preaching about Jesus and his coming and letting them know that he is here and that they must get right in order to get in. And the only way they can get right is to accept him who has come to save their souls. And so after hearing this powerful message and wanting more than this world could ever offer, wanting more than their religion could give to them, wanting more than what they had been used of, they were saying, I can't wait another minute. Let me have it now. So his preaching produced faith. But I want you to see something else. His faith or their faith produced force. Force. What's another word for force? Power. Their faith produced power. Now listen to this. What kind of power are you talking about? The kind of power that gets God's attention. Faith. Amen. The Bible says, without faith, you can't please God.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And faith is a powerful medium or force. When you learn how to operate in faith, you please God. When you please God, God blesses you.
Yeah.
All right. See, when you get so stirred up by the word that your faith then becomes empowered, it becomes like a force. And here's what you understand. Because faith is a spiritual reality, it produces a force that cannot be seen with the naked eye in its natural form. But it goes through all of the natural realms and gets into the spirit realm. And it is in the spirit realm where it reaches up for the things of God that are spiritual and jets them down into the natural realm by force. Or power. You see, when your faith begin to please God, God says, give it to him.
All right.
Give it to him. Because it's as if your hands are reaching up into heaven and taking, this is mine, I want it now.
All right.
See, that's why you don't understand. See, when God gets excited, when folks' faith reaches a point where they are, number one, in accordance with the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God. And once you have that conviction, God, it is mine. You have said it. I declare it. I'm standing on this. As a matter of fact, after you get tired of standing so long, you start taking it.
All right.
You say, I've been waiting long enough now, Lord. What's the hang up? What's the hold up? And your faith, you again get into the word. The word builds up your faith. The more faith your word builds up, the more force of power that goes on the inside of you, the more force and power that's on the inside of you, not designed to stay in you but be released from you, reaches up to heaven. The more your faith is empowered, the higher and the quicker up it reaches. The more your faith pleases God, the sooner your blessings will come to you.
All right.
And so you got to realize this preaching produced faith, and this faith produced force or power. Well, I'm trying to help you understand some scriptural principles to understand how to get what God has for you into your life and how to get it without having to wait a lifetime for it.
Amen.
How many of you heard God say, this is yours, that's yours, but you still ain't got it?
Amen.
I'm trying to help you understand how. You listen, amen. It's on the way. But what happens if you can't wait no longer?
That's it.
All right.
What happens when you waited long enough? listen at this. Now I got to help you understand. What they were taking was what belonged
to them.
All right.
Listen now, they wasn't taking what belonged to somebody else. John preached the gospel. The kingdom is for you.
All right.
You've been waiting a long time on the kingdom. The kingdom is here.
All right.
Now, since the kingdom is here, listen at this, and there's a long line, and folk are not acting like they want to go, you ain't got to stand behind the folk. You get out of line and say, you can sit there and talk if you want. I'm next in line.
All right.
And you get in because you're sick and tired of folk in front of you just lollygagging and waiting.
Come on.
You get violent, you get people like, ooh, let them go on there. Go on, you want it, huh? I can wait, go ahead. And so folks miss their blessings. Because they don't know how to get what's theirs. And it comes by believing one another, believing, first of all, whether or not it belongs to them.
That's it.
All right.
And so these people believed that the kingdom belonged to them by the preaching anointed and appointed by John the Baptist to do, so that their faith would be stirred, and that because that faith was stirred, it produced a force that met with heaven's permission and approval. And so I want you to see something else. If that faith produced force or power, then what did the power produce? Because it don't make sense to have power and it don't work.
That's it.
Or it don't make sense to have power and you don't use it. So what did the power produce? The possession.
That's right.
The goods. Look at what the word says. It says again, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. That means the power then that was produced got them the possession. You see, when it's all said and done, if your faith don't produce no possessions.
All right.
If when it's all said and done, all that hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord, all the rest of that, you come in broke, you leave out broke, you come in busted, you leave out busted, you come in down, you leave out down, you come in here, you aren't good, and you leave out your worst, you come in here, things aren't no better, and you leave out there no matter. I mean, when you come, what is the sense then of what it is that you've got?
All right.
You see, the very reason for getting the word is to understand God's will for your life.
All right.
And so when you begin to understand the will of God for your life, then you begin to say, wait a minute, wait a minute. That is what God wants for me. Well, regardless of what's going on in me, around me, or with me, when I hear his word and understand that my creator wants me as his creation to have what he desires for me, then that begins to stir up the faith that he has placed in me. When that faith is stirred up on the inside of me that he has placed in me and into every man, then that begins to do something. It produces something. It produces a force in me. And this force or this power is so that it can then produce the possessions for me. Look again. If it takes faith to please God, the reason it takes faith to please God is because it is the medium of faith that produces the possessions. In other words, if you don't have faith to believe God, God can't transfer it into your account.
That's it. All right.
I believe he's rich in houses and land.
All right.
And the cattle on a thousand hill and the silver and the gold is his. But do I believe I've got a share in it? You see, because when I begin to understand I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus, and I begin to look at the fact that Jesus left everything up in heaven and came down and took on a human form of flesh and lived in this earth realm so that he could identify with me, I want you to know it didn't stop there. He came down here to identify with me. But once he identified with me, the flip side of that is now, because of all of the stuff that he has still waiting on him, and now he's returned back in heaven, and I'm seated in heavenly places in him, it is so I can identify with him. He took on my poorness, but he gave me his riches.
All right.
Are you listening to me here today? He knows what I feel. He knows what I go through. He knows what I think. He knows what I experience. He identified with me. But he says, now listen, I've seen your side. I want you to come on up and see my side. And see the authority and the power. See the possessions that he has. And then notice what he says. We are joint. Heirs. Matter of fact, when he left, he said, Peter, I'm going to give you an example for the believers. I'm going to leave you these keys because I ain't got no need for them down here. And he says, whatever you need, I've got a key for it.
All right.
And if you don't need it, lock it up.
Yes, sir.
We don't want anybody to get a hold of this kind of thing. He said, but when you do need it, unlock it. And whatever you lock on earth, I'll lock it up in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, on earth, I'll loose it up in heaven. Now listen to what this means here. We lock it or unlock it by faith. When we speak the word of prayer, when we speak the word of faith, God hears our word, and because of that faith produces power. That power produces the possessions. What we say we have, what we have, we say in faith. And God does, listen, in the earth realm, in the spirit realm, what we speak and do in the earth realm. And all of this is a copycat of the original plan of God in Genesis. Again, as I've shared with you so many times, we are made in his image and in his likeness, and everything that was came because he spoke it. He spoke it. And when he spoke it, the Holy Ghost caused all of that he said to come to pass. Same thing is what happens with us. And so when you become so earnest, so excited about the things of God that you just can't wait another minute for what belongs to you. You stop sitting back with an easy-go attitude. Well, I'm going to just wait. You know, good things come to those who wait. And it does. But not to those who wait too late. See, sometimes you can, see, waiting too long is called procrastination.
All right.
Ain't no blessing in procrastination. You missing out on your blessing by waiting too long. Don't you know everything has down here a time expiration date on
it? That's it.
So everything down here is for a limited time only. And so it could be yours, but how many times have you bought something, left it in your cabinet, then got ready to use it, saw the expiration date, and though you had paid for it, it was in your cabinet, it wasn't fit for consumption because you let it stay too long? Anybody hear me there? I mean, you might have bought some meat when it was good, but you didn't cook it. You just kept deferring. Didn't put it in the freezer to extend its life. And so when you decided you wanted to put and you cook it, you pull the wrapper off and the stitch.
That's it.
No, I done messed up a $7 steak here. Now, some of y'all might do something a little different, y'all. You know, but I'm just talking about the rest, you know, the most of us.
All right.
You're like, you know what, it ain't worth that, man. I tap my stomach up on that. I just let that go. So now listen at this as I come to a close. One of the things that you've got to understand is when you really come into the revelation of the truth, and God makes clear that it is yours, say mine.
Mine.
Now let me throw this out parenthetically in case some of you have heard me. You can't take what belongs to somebody else.
All right.
And God be pleased with that.
All right.
You can only take what is yours. And when you take what is yours, and that's the way God has structured and established the king. For the babes, et cetera, God will give it to you and he'll feed it to you, hand feed it to you. But then you'll note then as you begin to become stronger and you begin to understand the principles and learn how they operate, there are some things as you grow more quicker than normal that you can begin to reach into new levels of faith, and you can begin to operate on new levels of faith, and you begin to receive the things of faith because you have begun to exemplify and actually utilize the principles of faith, and thus getting more than what you normally would have under normal conditions. The more you come into the revelational knowledge of the truth of God's word and begin to apply that, you have every right then to receive what the word says. And so this is why it's important to understand that this is likened to violent folk. Take us. Violent folk don't wait till you give them nothing.
All right.
Give me that. And they take it. They don't ask permission. Can I have this? No, when they're violent, it's likened to a man with a gun and he wants something you got.